I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. You heard about it in the news today. Not a big surprise, but the Minnesota Vikings, this will be their last training camp at Mankato, and then they'll head to Eagan, where their corporate facility and beyond will be located. Kevin Warren, of course, the COO that runs that part of the Viking ship, joins us now. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Mike, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, it's perfect. We're downtown, still in meetings and about Eagan and doing some planning as we speak right now. And I have one other of my cohorts here, Lester Bagley, who's been with me all day. And so he'll be here. So you got two for the price of one.
Oh, wow. Lester, can you hear us too?
Yeah, I got you, Max.
Oh, wow. This is awesome. It's not often I get you two together at the same time. This is exciting show for us, exciting day. You know, the Vikings and Mankato have been a great partnership, obviously, for, 52 years. And they've actually shortened the amount of training camp time that's down there. They're not down there that long before they come to Winter Park. A lot of people thought this is the way that it would go. Kevin, you start with this. Most teams have gone to a training camp in their facility. Is that just because as the NFL's evolved, they've been able to build bigger facilities?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of factors. If you think back, many years ago, training camp was 8-10 weeks long, 12 weeks long for many years. Even when I started in the league in 1997, we had 6-week training camps. So it was different. And so now being, preserving players and the health and safety of players, the time of camp has gone down. And just from a logistical standpoint, teams, which is well over, somewhere between 21 and 25 teams now have their camp at home. Just because one thing that people fail to realize is that it takes a lot of logistical efforts. You think about it, we pack up our entire weight room and put it on a trailer and take it down to Mankato. And so all of the computers and the weight room and people's offices and all those different kind of things that we have at Winter Park, we have to take down to Mankato. So I think teams have taken a look at it and said, okay, you're in camp for a shorter period of time. Logistically, it is less complicated. And they typically now want to provide a lot of their fans in a different part of the state with an opportunity, especially near their home practice facility, with a chance to come to practice during the day and participate in training camp.
Lester, you've been involved in getting a stadium built and a new facility now in Eagan. Tell me what you've learned over the last 10 years about everything, corporate America, getting things built, working with politics and sponsors and everything else. What's been some of the interesting things that you've learned over the last several years?
Well, a couple of quick thoughts, Mike. One is partnerships and collaboration, and we, Vikings couldn't do it by ourselves if it weren't for our community partners, or elected officials, media, yourself. It's partnerships, and it also starts at the top with the Wilf family and Kevin in terms of vision and setting a course and knowing what you want and then kind of going after it. Those couple things that we've learned sometimes the hard way at the Vikings, but a couple quick thoughts there.
But do you learn the other thing that you have to learn, I guess, that everybody has to learn is patience. You see the soccer team going through this now where they're trying to get the stadium built, and it never goes according to plan, does it?
No, it never does. It never does. And we have today is exciting. At the same time, it's tough news because we have long-term partnerships and relationships. And it's really, we know what Mankato and training camp down there means to our fans and to that community. So, and that's back to the partnership and collaboration. The ultimate success of our stadium deal, the legislature, was a team effort, both within the Vikings, but also with our community, with the business leaders, labor leaders, elected officials, on both sides of the aisle, and our fans. So it's kind of where I think you're successful, and I think, you know, the United are working on that. They're trying to you know, they've charted a course forward and working on partnerships with the city of St. Paul and others, and they'll get there. But yeah, it doesn't go according to plan. You know, partnerships, collaboration, and persistence are kind of, you know, what drives us.
Kevin, what the Egan facility, when you know, obviously there's several components to this in different parts that people probably won't appreciate until it's done and they see it. But for people that will eventually experience training camp there, what will it be like? Is there going to be a big parking lot and lots of bleachers, and so it'll be easy for them like it is at Mankato to kind of access the practice?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question. And put it in the context, Winter Park, where we are in Eden Prairie now, who, by the way, has been a great partner and a great home for us for, you know, 35 plus years, sits on about 15 acres of land, 12 that are usable, 3 are in wetlands. And to put it in the context, our new practice facility in Egan is 40 acres, and it's a 200-acre development, so it's 160 contiguous acres that's going to be mixed-use development from apartments to we're exploring a hotel, conference center, to restaurants, just different kind of businesses associated with it. So just what you alluded to, just the sheer space. And if you haven't been to Egan, you'll see what we're talking about. I mean, even when you stand in our practice facility and you look across the development and see the Twin Cities Orthopedics buildings going up, I mean, this is a big space. And I think what it allows you, you can visualize that it will give people space. And we're going to have a stadium there that will hold 6,000 to 10,000 people. And so we visualize it and absolutely, once it's all built out, an energetic environment where people will come and spend the entire day, where there'll be restaurants and there will have lakes there and just a lot of energy for us to be able to activate different things and to be able to touch the community in a very positive standpoint. And the exciting part about it, as Lester alluded to, is we have been blessed with 52 incredible years with the city of Mankato, with the university, with the politicians, with the Chamber of Commerce, all of the people who operated the hotels, the restaurants, all the different things in Mankato. It is a special, you know, special relationship. So to take that here in the metro area and have someone who decides at 11 o'clock to leave and say, I'm going to go have a lunch out at the Egan Vikings Development and visit the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center and watch some practice and get back or bring the kids out there. You can imagine what this will look like on a weekend. And so we're just excited. As Lester said, it's a day of mixed emotions, but we're excited as we progress as a franchise to give back to our fans. And we will always be the Minnesota Vikings. And so we expect people from every corner of the state and our wonderful fans from around the world to come and visit us and to be able to see their favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings.
Now, the Twin Cities Orthopedic Center, is that akin to the Mayo Square, the Target Center, in that it's going to be a facility that not just for the Vikings, but anybody that needs rehab or work can go there?
Yes. It's a very similar concept. And, you know, they will have a sports performance center where you'll be able to go and rehab and get treatment and actually have surgery. And then they're having a medical office building where they're moving and expanding a lot of their employees and doctors who will be working out of there. So anytime, and the great thing about it, we're proud to say that just like we did at U.S. Bank Stadium, we've associated, you know, with robust Twin City metro companies. And so to be able to deal with a company who has the name Twin Cities Orthopedics, who was birthed here in the state of Minnesota, and have them as a partner, and you'll see over the next couple months that we'll be announcing other major partnerships as we build out our Egan development. And I think everyone here in the state of Minnesota will be proud to see the partners that we're doing business with. And a lot of them will be here from the state of Minnesota. So it's exciting. And you think what, like Lester said, we just have to continually give a lot of credit to the Will family. I mean, they've invested an incredible amount of personal money here in the Twin Cities and built a wonderful stadium. And now they're building a wonderful headquarters that we think will be the iconic venue and location, not only locally, nationally, but also from an international standpoint.
Lester, obviously the other thing that we hear about is a stadium that's built multi-purpose from the standpoint of high school games, maybe college games, depending on, I don't know if college would want to leave campuses, et cetera. But tell me about that what this will look like from a function standpoint in terms of maybe being able to heighten high school football game of the week. We've heard some conversations about that.
Yeah, sure, Mike. That's been part of our vision, as you know, from the beginning. It's part of our conversations over the last few years, both internally and beginning more externally, including with the Minnesota State High School League and those folks about, as you said, a multi-purpose stadium, up 6,000 to 10,000 fans, but it will be built to host lacrosse and soccer and maybe some music events, concerts. But high school football, we're a football team. It's in essence a football stadium that's multi-purpose, and we want to partner. We want to bring youth football in. We have EJ Henderson, our youth football director, who's right now in Duluth, working with kids up there. It's what he does, and what we do is connect in the community, and so this is part of the vision as well. And we envision hopefully in 2018 we'd have a couple of football games, maybe a rivalry game, and as we get into later years and transition and get our feet under us in Eagan, we'll have more than one or two, but have a rivalry game, a Friday Night Lights game that could be broadcast on the Vikings Entertainment Network. We could work with the schools and have students come in and train to be to how to produce a football game, whether it's online, on the radio, on television, or otherwise. But also have the high school league is very interested in the quarterfinal football, where they have to, as you know, they have to have that neutral site
on turf, yeah.
And so we'll have that, and we've begun to dig into those issues with Dave Stead and Kevin Merkel and those guys over there, great partners. And early stages of discussions, but that's definitely part of the vision to build that multi-purpose, have that youth and family and community access, and certainly to zero in on high school football, and we're excited about that as well.
So, Kevin, will this be the kind of place for people, there'll be restaurants there so that they want to go out there any time of the year, they could have something to eat at whatever that restaurant is, and then maybe walk around and get a feel for it any time, as long as it's not a closed practice?
Absolutely. I mean, and not only that, we visualize the entire, Viking Lakes development as a 365, 24/7 destination. And now, with the NFL, it has become almost a year-round destination. But we look at this that even on a nice summer day, whatever is going on, that you can go out there and spend the day with your family and have a great meal and use some of our trails and parks and just spend time there in retail operations. And so we just think that it is very centrally located. It's near the airport. It's near downtown St. Paul. It's near downtown Minneapolis. It's right off of 494. And so we're just excited to try to build something that even just brings that extra panache to the state of Minnesota. And, again, look at what has happened since we built U.S. Bank Stadium. I mean, you get the X Games, and look the energy that brought this past weekend, and Super Bowl 52 coming in February, and then the Final Four coming in 2019. So all the different things that we have coming together that I think this will be another one of those things that everyone, every fan of the Vikings, every person in the state of Minnesota, that we can be proud of to say that we have come together and built this great environment in Eagan.
Lester, the Wolves were honored the other night at the Starkey Hearing Gala. Maybe both of you were there. I don't know if you were or not, but what was that? What was it like every year? That's a little something different. What was the entertainment part of it? What was the banquet like?
It was always a great event in one of the top community events that we have in this market. And yeah, Kevin was there and our ownership was there. In fact, the Wolf Family Foundations were given an award at the dinner. Marilyn Carlson Nelson did an outstanding job of introducing Lenny Wilf and the Wilf family and acknowledging their significant role in philanthropy as well as both in Minnesota, nationally, and even globally, what they've done as a family. So that was a special night on that front. But it was probably, and I've been to the last six or eight, I believe, in a row, and this one was a great entertainment. Had Steven Tyler from Aerosmith do some of those great hits, and John Fogerty got a little Creedence flashback, which was awesome. And Darius Rucker and this great young entertainer, Grace VanderWaal. She was 13 years old. She is amazing, and so it's always top-notch entertainment, top-notch sponsors, and they raise a lot of money And Starkey does an outstanding job of fitting hearing aids and people all over the world, people in need who some kids and families and adults who've never heard anything, they've never heard their kids laugh or their mother's voice, and you see some of these videos and these stories that what Starkey has done. It's always a great night, great positive energy, but special this time to be there with Kevin and his wife Greta, my wife Wendy, and the Will family and some of our colleagues at the Vikings and a lot of our players, you know, Harrison, Xavier,
Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, we had five or six players. Adrian was there. We got to catch up with Adrian a little bit. Larry Fitzgerald was there. So it's always a great turnout, great event for our community, and we're proud to be partners with Starkey.
Oh, that was wonderful. Hey, Kevin, on one other note, your son, who works so hard, we saw him play tight end for Minnetonka, was awarded with a scholarship to Mississippi State. And I don't remember too many going from Minnesota to Mississippi State, but tell us about the hard work that he put in to earn that.
I mean, Mike, I get emotional just thinking about it because, you know, one of the things, two numbers that I talk to him about all the time is 132 and 22. 132 are the number of days that he spent at IMG Academy. You know, he was at Minnetonka, was coached incredibly well by Dave Nelson, but, you know, wanted to go bigger and further and looked at me and said, Dad, I have a dream to always play in the SEC. And so he enrolled in IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida in January and spent 132 days there, went through spring football and worked hard and ended up getting a full ride to go to Mississippi State University, which has an incredible, you know, coaching staff, Dan Mulling and the staff that he's put together, DJ Loney and just some just incredible coaches. So it's a blessing. And the other number 22 is the actual weight of Secretariat's heart. You know, they talked about most horses have a heart that weigh between 8.5 and 9.5 pounds, and Secretariat was 22 pounds. And so one of the things we talk about constantly with our kids, Greta and I, with our kids and in our household, is be passionate, follow your dreams, you know, ignore the naysayers, associate yourself with good people, and just have heart. And so he has put in the work. He knows it's only beginning. Greta and I dropped him off at Mississippi State on May 4th, and he started summer school. Talked to him every day, but he's in summer school. Talked to him late last night. He was writing a paper for his ethics class on Aristotle. And is training hard, lifting and running. And he said, Dad, thank God that I've worked as hard as I have because the training regimen is really serious. And so he went down there in good shape. And we just pray every day that God will keep him safe and keep him healthy. And we'll see what the future holds for him. But he's prepared. And so he's carrying the Minnesota flag. He's so proud to have that Minnesota license plate driving around Starkville. So it's been a blessing. To see him just kind of evolve and grow. And then our daughter Perry is a volleyball student athlete at Occidental and is having a great summer working in Land O'Lakes and has already been to Africa, D.C., and she's actually in Oregon now working at some of these, looking at some of these food opportunities for Land O'Lakes. So, it's, you know, our house is blessed. I'm just very thankful and grateful and just really humbled. We love the Twin Cities. This is home. We've been here for many years, and hopefully we can stay here for many years in the future.
Well, congratulations on all fronts, guys. Thanks so much for giving us some time tonight. Two of my favorites, Kevin Warren and Lester Bagley. I didn't know I'd get two for one. Appreciate it very much.
We always like to surprise you and deliver more than you expect. So, Mike, on a serious note, we really, really appreciate you, what you stand for. You carry yourself with class and elegance. And your station, you all do a great job, but we really thank you for all that you've brought to the Vikings and just being a wonderful soldier.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Okay. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Lester Bagley and Kevin Warren. Did you get that last part, Dan?
No, I'm sorry. I was listening to something else. What was that last part?
Are you listening to FM again? Sports to the Max on WCCO. Welcome back. Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. We've talked Twins. We've talked Vikings. Let's talk some NBA not far away. Trent Tucker will join us, break down the Minnesota Timberwolves moves, and talk about what's going on as the athletic director of the City Conference in Minneapolis. Always fun. Stay with us. This is Sports to the Max, but more importantly, this is WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mayor Betsy Hodges will address the situation, the police shooting of course, that has now taken over not just this state, this country, but this world, become an international story. And we will try to bring you some of that at least live in the 8 o'clock hour when she gives press conference to tell us what she knows. And I don't know if she knows any more than she did yesterday when she was on with Chad Hartman. But if this story has moved at all in any direction, certainly we're all riveted by this and trying to figure it out and what went on. We'll at least hopefully take a portion of that live in the 8 o'clock hour. I mentioned this last night, but it didn't get any better, and I guess I knew when I said it. Kate Fronick, a young 13-year-old, energetic, charismatic, athletic, good friend to many, passed away last night. And they had a candlelight vigil impromptu through social media, and I think they had 800 or 900 people show up for it. And with her family and surrounding her bedside, she had leukemia and had the bone marrow transplant, and it just didn't get better this summer. But by all, and I knew her just a little bit, met her a few times, but by all accounts, God got an angel up there. And she was a leader, and she was an important part, and her parents were Sunday school teachers, and all the right things. And we lost her way, way, way too soon. And to see her classmates and everybody else trying to deal with this and come to terms with it is difficult. Our best go out to our thoughts and prayers to the Fronick family as they go through this, because it is riveting, to say the least, when somebody that young leaves us this soon. Take a break. Come back. Welcome back, Sports for the Max, 741 and change on News Radio 830 WCCO. It's been part of my day-to-day out at St. Louis Park at Lifetime Fitness. Wonderful place to be. The energy out there, because they just got so much going on, activity-wise. And as I've often said, I can book my whole show sometimes if I just go to a couple health clubs during the day, because the people that I run into. But Khalid El-Amin was having his a basketball. He teaches basketball, two kids. And he had four or five kids that he's working with that just want to become better basketball players. I think a couple of them from, one played for Breck, a couple of them played for Brooklyn Center. And it was interesting to watch him and the drills that he prescribed for them and the ladder drills and the things that they were doing footwork-wise to try to get better. Because you assume, you know, Khalid had quite a career. And I sat and visited with him in one of the things that you never know the answer to, and it's what makes sports so curious and such a wonderful thing, is how much can you teach someone to be a great point guard? Because I guess you can teach them a lot of the semantics of it and a lot of the fundamentals of it. You know, you need to be able to, if you work hard on dribbling with both hands, you'll be a good ball handler. If you're a good ball handler, that means you can dribble without looking down. If you can dribble without looking down, then you should be a good passer, because it means that your head's up and you should have really good vision. So those things I think you can teach. But Khalid had this rare ability to be able to you just knew he was in charge when he got it. And I wonder sometimes if you can teach that part of it. The leadership part, the whatever it factor is. And I don't know if you can or not, but we were just talking about that. And it comes, to a certain extent, it comes from having a passion for the game. If they can see that you've got great enthusiasm for the game, then they'll follow you a little bit. But it's more than that. It's this certain something. I heard Isaiah Thomas talking about it the other day. He said, if two guys walk down the airport, walked in the airport, and one is 6'9 and 225 pounds, the other one's 6'9 and 225 pounds. And one's Magic Johnson and the other one isn't. He says, I can't explain it, but everybody will stop and look at Magic Johnson. Why? I don't know why. Because he's just got something about the way he carries himself. And that's what Khalid El-Amin had. And you see high school kids trying to replicate this and do it again. And be like that. And I always wonder how much you can teach that and how much of it they just either gravitate towards or they don't. You know, you talk about leadership classes and whatnot, and there are people that you meet that are managers. And managers you can teach somebody to be a manager. They figure out schedules. They're maybe connected to human resources. They know this, they know that. They manage. They can tell you how many sick days you have left. They can do this or that. But on their business card, it might look like they're in a position of leadership. But they're really not leaders. They're managers. Managers manage. A leader, on the other hand, takes you to a place that you didn't know you could go and creates a vision that you believe in and creates a culture where you want to go to work there, you want to be a part of whoever that person is. And that's where business and sports come together, and they're one and the same. Leaders, a coach, a great a leader in business and industry, creates a culture where you say, I'm glad I work here and I want to be a part of this because I believe that we're heading in a direction. And then on top of that, what they do is they create an environment where failure is not fatal. In other words, you're allowed to try different things and know that if it doesn't work, you're still going to be applauded, patted on the back, and said, at least you're trying to think outside the box and do something different. That's what great leaders do. And it's the same way when it's a point guard or a quarterback. You know, they're constantly trying to find a way to get somebody to do something different, to be creative. And that's what coaches do, is they create this environment. Some coaches that I know have the spirit, they don't know this, but they've got the spirit of an entrepreneur. And it's kind of hard to explain, but they've got the spirit of an entrepreneur, and that every day they realize that they've got to find a new way to motivate their team, and they can't use the same tactics all the time, so they're constantly trying to come up with a new way to motivate their team. Those guys do really, really well because they get up every day trying to figure out a different way to energize the base, to get the people that they need on their side. And they are those guys do really well, and they can do really well outside of sports. If they enter into the sales force or they become an executive in some company, they can do well. But they can't do well if all they're doing is managing. If all they're doing is saying, this is what time practice is, these are the plays that we're going to run, this is when you need to be, this is when you're supposed to lift weights. That's a manager. Those coaches don't do so well, but the ones that do well are the ones that are constantly looking at a way to make it a little bit better and to do it a little bit different and to keep you fresh and keep you on your toes and make you believe that whatever it is that they believe is worth investing in. And that's when it gets really fun, if you're a part of a team or something like that, where you believe that you're a part of something special and your teammates believe it. And whether it's in business or in sports, you want to be a part of it. So you want to get to the office early or to the ball field early, whatever it is, because you want to be a part of this thing. Because there's something about it. There's something about the culture that you believe in. There's something about the vision that they've painted that you believe in. That's a wonderful way to go through life. And if you get people like that on your side, enjoy it. Because those people are really special. Those leaders that can make you feel like you're special and make you feel like you're heading in a direction that you didn't even know you could get to. And when they're really, really good, they take you somewhere and they make you better than you ever thought you could be. And when you get that person, that person's goal, they're unbelievable. They change lives. Find those people if you can. Tell your kids to find those people if you can, because they will change their life. The time is 7:48. That is the Maplewood Toyota time. Hi, this isn't, it's kind of breaking news, but we're not quite sure what we're going to get on this. It's trickling in. Different information, but the state for sure, and dare I say, the country, and I mean, this has been the lead story in a lot of national newscasts and whatnot, is the recent police shooting that we saw in Minneapolis by Lake Harriet, of course. And we hope to bring you the press conference with Betsy Hodges in the 8 o'clock hour where she addresses. But Dan, as it's trickled out, the latest thing, just to keep people up to date, that is at least on the record, is what you said?
The BCA has issued the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, who's investigating this case, has issued a statement. And in that statement, they've said two pieces of evidence that are, you know, important. One, that the officer who fired the fatal shot has declined to be interviewed, as is his right. And two, that his partner has said that he believed the officer that fired the shot was startled by a loud noise near the vehicle, and that may be what led to him firing the shot that killed this lady. So
near as we can tell, not that we're detectives on this, and certainly you respect this process as much as any with your father being in law enforcement for all those years, mm-hmm. A woman comes to the car in her pajama type. They obviously, we've learned since, is reporting something that she saw, and but it is dark out, it is night, mm-hmm. and there could have been coincidentally at the same time she approached the car, a loud noise.
Correct.
And
that's speculative. We don't know for sure, but you know, that it sounds like there was some sort, according to the partner of the officer that fired the shot, there was some sort of loud noise, and the partner believes that's what prompted the officer to fire the shot that killed her. So
okay, then, I mean, you hate to even go down these roads because you don't understand, and the only people that understand are the ones that were there. But a logical question then is, so a loud noise occurred, and then he drew his firearm at that point?
Yeah, that we don't know.
Did he have it out already?
Right.
And as soon as a loud noise, as soon as he heard something, boom, he retaliated. Right.
That we honestly don't know. They didn't issue the entirety of the partner's statement. And it's not clear what the partner's comments on that were. And again, the officer involved in the shooting itself has declined to be interviewed by the BCA. So we're not going to get his take on it.
I got to tell you that, I mean, it is remarkable that this is the third case in this state over the last, 16 months?
That sounds about right.
I mean, national type headline, unbelievable stories.
Yeah.
And I understand one is a part of the Minneapolis Police Department. Another one's part of the St. Anthony Police Department. So they're not, you know, it's not as if it's exclusive to one. But in this state that we are dealing with something like that and by the way, we're waiting for Trent Tucker to call us any minute now. To talk about they're going to announce that Jamal Crawford tomorrow will have a press conference, and we're waiting for Trent to call us to give us his evaluation of Jamal Crawford and the Minnesota Timberwolves and all that's going on with the Wolves. So, but we are taking these pieces of information because we feel it's almost breaking news that you need to kind of piece this together in your mind. And they will have a press conference here coming up with Mayor Hodges, and I don't know how much of this she can disclose or whether she'll just disclose what you just heard. But it is amazing, probably coincidental, but certainly a reason for pause that there have been this many cases that involve police shootings of people over the last 16 months. Each case is different. I understand the facts are different, and these are very different circumstances, each one. But it makes you wonder just a touch as to what's going on out there. And yet I truly want to believe that these are well-intentioned police officers and things go astray, unfortunately, but that they're well-intentioned people and that circumstances just happen very quickly and decisions are made quickly and all those things. And in that reaction time, you don't know what happened, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and yet I certainly understand if I'm the father of this young lady and I'm in Australia and I get that phone call, I don't know how I react at that point in time. So that's where we're at with it. And in the 8 o'clock hour, Edgar Linares is heading over there. One way or the other, we'll have reports on this. But certainly, every time I turn on the cable news now, it's the lead story. And I don't know, you know, where this goes from here, but certainly it is a sad and fascinating story as to why this continues to happen here in the Twin Cities and beyond. And Janae Harto was out of town at the time that it happened, so she couldn't really comment on it. I understand that, and she's kind of getting her arms around it and trying to figure it out. It was when you hear the story first over the weekend and you say, okay, you know, there's going to be what you assume is there's going to be some conclusion to this that makes perfect sense. You know, there was a bad guy and there was a good guy. And then you start to hear as it unfolds and you say, well, there's no video. They didn't have them turned on. Woman got shot. Woman died. What was she doing? Was she some neurotic? And then you sit and find out, no, it doesn't sound like she was neurotic. It doesn't sound like she was having a nervous breakdown or anything like that. It just happened. It is, it's concerning at least. And, you know, you feel for everybody that gets involved in something like this. And so, and the 8 o'clock hour, we'll bring that. We were hoping to hear from Trent Tucker to call us, any minute now. And we haven't, heard from him. So hopefully we can make that connection here in the 8 o'clock hour as well. I'm not sure, what's going on there. And then at 8:40, Noah Dahlman will join us from Braham High School. Went on to a decorated career in college and now has become quite an entrepreneur, bringing basketball camps across the country. That's what he does. And it's pretty interesting to see how he's taken his love for the game, plays overseas during the wintertime, and then takes these camps throughout the country during the summertime. and hats off to him because that's exactly what you're supposed to do when you're going to get an education and you go out there and take a risk or two and you have some fun in the business world. So, Trent Tucker, we hope Mayor Hodges, perhaps press conference live in Noel Dahlman, all coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll turn it over to who's in tonight, Steve Thompson? Steve Thompson, he was in last night, and he was talking about Jupiter and, you know, people that want to go up one day, you know, maybe vacation there. More on that in the hours to come. Stay with us.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.